Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, that first hour was such an emotional hour. I'm very close friends, and I feel like I'm brothers to all five of the guests we had on. James and Keith with the Political Cesspool. I started out with them years and years ago. I was a much younger man then. We had Rich and Gene and Matt on. I rode to Charlottesville with Rich, Gene, and Matt, and Simon Roach was there too. We've been trying to get in touch with Simon Roach. I've heard some people said he should be called Roche, but I made an instant bond. He's one of these people I always talked about. You know, I'm sure you've seen him. I was talking to Cameron during the break and said, you see these people in your life over a lifetime, you have just something magnetic between you and them, a special brotherhood, a special bond. I admired him. He admired me. It's just, you can't buy that. But I'm hoping we can get him on. I'm going to continue to try. I've got to check and see if I've got the right number. I've got two phone numbers for me. But anyway, that's who he is. He's in South Africa. We'll try to get him on as soon as we can. But I would like to thank James and Keith and Rich and Gene and Matt for coming on. Making this is a very solemn, solemn show. Now, people, since we transitioned to the second hour, we have our co-host, Rand Owen, coming on. He's going to help me ask any questions to Tamara. But we have Miss Tamara Goodwin on. And listen, she's very special. She came on today at a minute's notice. One of our guests had to drop out. And really, God moves in mysterious ways. But Miss Tamara Goodwin is very special to this show because her son is still in prison. And I'm not going to say you any more about it. I'm going to let her tell you who her son is, why he's in prison, how long he'll be in prison, and all the other ramifications of that, what happened to him up there. How are you doing tonight, Miss Tamara?
We're doing great. How are y'all?
Doing great. We got Miss Rand Owens on tonight, too. You doing okay, Rand?
I'm blessed, Eddie. I'm glad to be on with y'all.
Glad to be on. Well, I tell you what, we're going to go right straight to Miss Tamara. Miss Tamara, before we start asking you questions, why don't you introduce yourself and tell the people who we are the whole detail about what Charlottesville means to you, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, when I hear Virginia, I can't say anything. I can't say, well, that's a happy place that I would think I'd ever want to go. But, yes, my son was standing up for the statues for everyone in our history, and he just was standing up there, and he basically got charged with they were trying to charge him with murder for kicking a boy in the back of the booty because he was getting attacked by some of those. And after this month, we'll be under 2 years. We get past this month, we'll be under 2 years. Charlottesville was like a war over there. I mean, sometimes I think I can't, I try not to think about it when August hits, but I can't with my son being in prison. You know, my husband and I, just try to get it and live it and try to be done because they're just making an example out of my son. He's a political prisoner.
Miss Tamara, so, the last time you were on, your husband said, I asked him, do you think maybe he could get early out some kind of way because your husband, if I remember right, said they were releasing a lot of prisoners early. And your husband said if they released everybody, he said your son would have to do every day, every hour of his time he's been sentenced. There was no way in hell they're going to let him go. Is that true? Is my memory right?
Yes, they're not going to let my son out early. He knows it. He's a... he knows he's going to have to do his diligence in there. But I've asked him, I said, because he's in there somewhere the lowest of the low. And his daddy's asked him more than once, son, are you still think it's worth, giving your life for this? He said, oh, yeah, daddy, I would do it again because people need to wake up and realize what's happening to all of us. So with this all happening, I think it's kind of a wake-up call, in that kind of sense. And, my husband and I, we just saw him. Matter of fact, we just saw him. It's this February, probably I saw him in 3 years. We've seen it. And I tell you, I thought it was going to have to tear me off of it. I thought they were going to have to force me to leave. And my son says, Mom, you got to let go of me. So, but, I, you know, he's still strong. Somebody sent me a text today to say, you know, I cannot believe your son, how strong and intelligent he is. And he goes, there's not right here. You know, he says, there's not very men in this world that's like your son. And I'm very proud of my son. When, you know, I'm just a mother, I'm nobody, but I know that I am realizing that the son that I do have, I'm very, very proud of how he is and what he stands for. And he's not, let me tell you what, that boy is still giving his life. He would still give his life for everybody to make a difference for white people. You know, he's strong. And I thank everybody for backing us up and standing behind me and my husband. And the time, I'm not going to tell you, Ellie, it's hard sometimes, Eddie. It really is.
You know, Miss Tamara, if you will, everybody that knows your son knows that he is a hero because we had a lady on here on one of the best shows we ever did. We had this lady named, she was Nellie. She goes by the name of Nellie, and she testified, you correct me if I'm wrong, she testified on this show that she saw your son and another fellow, Daniel Borden, who's now, Daniel Borden got released from early out. I think Daniel was only 18 when he was arrested. But she told us that she says it was no exaggeration whatsoever, that Daniel Borden and your son saved her life because she was having the hell beat out of her by grown men. Here she is, a lady, a mother, and she's getting the daylight beat out of her. There were this one tall fellow, she said, looks like he's of Indian descent, was using nunchucks on her. And so your son and Daniel Borden came to her rescue with her shields and got her in between the shields and escorted her out through that howling mob. And they were outnumbered too. Your son and Daniel, they took some horrible licks, took a horrible beating because they were outnumbered greatly. But they did get her out of that mob. And she said she actually believes they saved her from getting killed. Now, is my memory right or not, Miss Tamara?
Well, it wasn't Daniel. Daniel was in debt. Jacob and Daniel never knew each other until after they got put in prison together, or in jail before they basically were in prison before they ever went to jail because they didn't let them boys out, and they were like in a 10-by-10. It was all four of them. And the only time they got out of prison for that year is just to go to court. So they never saw that. Never got to go outside for that whole year, basically. But Daniel was, Jacob didn't meet Daniel until he got into the Alamo jail. But Jacob did save her life. There was three grown men beating her up. And if y'all go on the Year of Jubilee, you can, I think it's still there. You can see my son saving her life. She's a mother, single mother of five. And she was just standing there wanting to see her and her sons were just out there just seeing what was, you know, what was happening and what this, that, and the other. But, yeah, my son, I was very proud. When he came out, he goes, Mom, you won't believe this lady was in trouble. And, I just kind of helped her through there. And that was kind of like the end of it. I didn't know the severity of it until she ran me down. She knew his face, but she didn't know his name until my son's face hit national news. And then she goes, that's the man who saved me right there. That's the man who saved me. So they went through hours and hours of video, and that's how she found it, and she downloaded it, and she said it so that I could see my son saving her life.
Well, you know, we had that one show I'm talking about. We had, of course, we had you on, and we had Nellie on. And then we had Daniel called in from prison. He's the only prisoner we've ever had that was able to call into the show from prison. She said that, in fact, she talked to Daniel on the air, and she accredited him too with helping to save her life. But she also accredited your son a great deal. And that's the point I'd like to make. These two stellar gentlemen, young men, were doing up there, just like Tamara said. Well, I'll add one thing that Tamara didn't say. Her son was cautioned not to go. He was warned by many people not to go to Charlottesville because they were afraid they had a sixth sense. There's going to be all kinds of trouble with the law, get injured. But he said He had to go. It was his duty. But, you know, he was going to go. He was going to try to stand up for Southern heritage, for Christianity, for what's right, for what's all, you know, what's Christian. And he said, let the chips fall where they may. And like Ms. Tamara said, he has not bellyached or groused or complained any at all. He said he'd do it all again. But Ms. Tamara, when do you think you'll be able to see your son again?
Oh, and it'll be about another 6 months because they won't let us see him. But, you know, every quarter or something like that. But, you know, in prison right now, where he's at right now, they don't have any air conditioning in there. They have big old giant fans, and he's got a fan, and, you know, we got him a fan, little fan for him personally. But there's no air in there. And then I did not know this until a while back. They have no cold water in there. They have the hot. So they take a shower, they get cooked pretty much. And I said, well, you know, when you get hot, baby, at least we'll get a cold shower. He said, Mom, we don't have any cold water. I said, you're kidding. He said, no.
God.
So when we went to the prison, we had to, they gave us COVID test, and the lady who tested us was very, very sweet, very, very sweet. And she said, she was the secretary, and she said she did not know they didn't have cold water over there. She said, what? I said, no, they don't have
the water. That is criminal. We have to try to do something about that, as best we can. To Ms. Tamara, we've got to go to a break. When we come right back, we'll let you take up where we have to leave off. Be right back, people.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear precious Blood River Radio family, once again, I'd just like to say this. Let me repeat myself, but this is our 5th anniversary of Battle of Charlottesville. Show. We were honoring all the people that went to Charlottesville, and we're especially honoring and dedicating this show, this broadcast, and next week's broadcast to all the people who went to Charlottesville and they're now in jail just for going there and trying to defend what they thought was right, trying to defend their Southern heritage, white people's heritage, our very just to defend our right to live. To have a place to exist on earth. And they're also trying to defend, you know, all things good and righteous and Christian. And you see what happened. But listen, before we go back to Ms. Tamara, I'm just going to tell you people out there one more time. It's here we is we're in the, here we are in the summertime, in one of the worst heat waves I've ever seen. And I've been in, I'm 75 years old. I've never seen a hotter summer than this, I don't believe. We have these people up there in prison, and they have no tap water, no cool water. The water is hot. Now, you know damn well that is an intentional, that's done that on purpose to torture these people. They have no air conditioning, no hot water. And I asked Ms. Tamara during the break, do they have a water fountain? What can they do? Can they have any water in a cell? No. The only time they can ever get anything to drink is when they go to the chow hall. I mean, I don't know how anybody's surviving there, getting away from dehydration, escaping dehydration. I asked Ms. Tamara during the break, well, has anybody tried to do anything about that? Contact a governor, a senator, a congressman? I mean, it probably wouldn't do any good, but I mean, my God's worth a try. She said she was afraid to try to make any waves because they'd make it harder on them. I thought, well, how the hell are we going to make it harder on them unless they start making them sleep on glass beds or something? But, Rand, before we go back to Ms. Tamara, is there any questions you would like to ask Ms. Tamara?
Well, first of all, Eddie, I'd just like to say that I listened to that first hour, and I really enjoyed that, man. And I love this show. I love all the folks that participate on it and help spread the truth, and I thank God for it. And I just wanted to say that. And, yeah, Ms. Tamara, I mean, I met your son on the evening of that day, that night, just briefly, and I was in close quarters with him during the time that we were there that day. And it's a travesty what has happened to this young man. And it should be an outrage. It should be an outrage that nobody could miss. And it's not. And that's sad. And it's because our people don't have a voice anymore.
Nope, they sure don't.
We're not counted anymore. It's like it's a big party going on, and we're not welcome. We're not invited, and we're not welcome to participate, and we're not allowed to say anything. We don't have a right to assemble anymore. And it's sad. And I respect your son so much for taking a stand, because so many don't, because they want to stay in that comfort zone. They don't want to step out of the box and do what it's going to take to correct what has happened, not only in our Southland, but this whole country. And I can't say I can't say enough good things about your son. And I appreciate you coming on, and I'll let you continue.
Yes, Tamara, before, do you have anything else to add before I start asking questions? But would you like to say, you said how earlier, I believe, the sound's kind of breaking up. I'm getting some pretty poor audio, but I believe you told me that your son is holding up very well. He's unbowed. He's unbent. They have not broke his spirit like so many. I think it would be hard for anybody, yours truly, to go into a situation like that without just, being broken, having your spirit broken. I mean, because my God, especially when you're younger, as your son, I believe he was 20, just turned 22 when he was arrested. I mean, 5 years, 6 years, that's a lifetime. That's a long time for me. I'm 75 years old. But to a young person like that, I mean, 5 years, that's like 20 to someone like me. Would you like to comment on that, Ms. Tamara?
Well, actually, he was 23. He'll be getting out basically when he's 30. So all of his 20s, that he meets a girl and starts his life, he's in there. But hey, let me tell you, Jacob has had something for our generation, I guess, at the White since he was 10 years old. He's always been telling his dad, "Dad, we got to do something. Got to do something now." And I'd say, "Jacob, what do you want Mama to do?" You know, he said, "Well, everybody can do something, Mama." And I, you know, I just thought, "Okay, okay." But no, he really meant it, you know. But I am so, I cannot tell you as a mother to hear this man's words about my son. Because I heard, I mean, you know, they wanted to cut my head off. They wanted to burn my house down. I've been followed. They've called me and my husband ugly stuff. We've been through it. And he said to us, "Mom," when he first got us, "if you and Dad would just deny me, it would be so much easier." And I said, "Oh, H-double-L, no, we're not. We cannot. I cannot do that to you." And he just told us this week, he said, "Mom, I know y'all stand by me. Everything I need and everything I want, y'all tried to help me." He said, "I can't tell you how much I love y'all and appreciate y'all." Well, of course, as a mother, you know, I get choked up and I want to cry. And he said, "Mom, don't cry." And I said, "I can't help it. I'm just a mother who loves a son, you know." So I was born to be his mother. I was born to be the mother of two boys. So, and my husband, you know, he does his best to try to support him and do things he needs or wants from there, you know. But I'm not gonna tell y'all, it's not been easy. And I'm selfish as a mother, and I want to say, you know, I want him home. I love all you guys, but I want him home. Y'all can do y'all's thing. He said, "Mama, that ain't how it works." He tells me, "Mom, that's not how it works. You're going to have to be tough and, you know, basically suck it up, buttercup." So that's what me and my husband do.
You know, Ms. Tamara,
we need 100,000 Jacobs. We need 50,000 Jacobs.
Well, unfortunately.
And I want to tell you, that day in Charlottesville, that wasn't no place for sissies, like Brother Andrew said early in the first hour. And I've never been in the military, and I'm glad that he's a former Marine, and it confirms it to me, because I had never been in a situation like that. I have been in a lot of protests, peaceful protests, over the 25 years being a member of the League of the South, where we was able to go out and speak our mind and at least have a place on the public square. But like Brother Andrew said, that was a combat situation that day. I had never been in anything like that that day. And I want to say this. It was mentioned earlier. I know I'm going down a little bit of a rabbit trail, but New Orleans, a few weeks before, and it was only about 75 of us down there that day in New Orleans, and we met probably just as many agitators, and that's the word for them. It's agitators. They're leftist agitators, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. They're all the same. They got all the same stripes. They're communist leftist agitators, and we met just as many. It was only about 75 of us in New Orleans down there. They hadn't removed that monument yet. It's gone now, but the police in New Orleans did their job that day, or it would have been the same thing, maybe worse. Maybe it could have been worse for us. I don't know. But the police did their job that day in New Orleans. And that's a whole nother story, as a lot of y'all have already talked about on here tonight, and others will, about how the police didn't do their job in Charlottesville, and the wrong people have been persecuted, and the scum has been left out. I mean, just
Ram, we're completely out of time. Let's let Miss Tamara. We got about 10 seconds. What remark would you like to leave us with? 10 seconds.
Y'all just believe me that my son is working on his mind and his body. He comes out. He ain't changed his belief at all. Everybody stay strong in what he says.
Thank you so much, Ms. Tamara. I can't thank you enough for coming on this program tonight. I'll be in contact with you again soon.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. By an overwhelming 86 to 11 vote, the Senate Tuesday night gave final passage to a bill that ramps up health care and disability benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and other toxins. The PACT Act of 2022 passed Tuesday night. Pat Toomey, who led the Republicans installing the measure, warned that it included what he calls a trick that would permit indiscriminate spending. And a school in Utah has removed books from the shelves.
Utah's largest public school district is defending its decision to remove 52 books that some parents view as pornographic. The Alpine School District has roughly 84,000 students. The district decided to pull the books by 41 authors from its library shelves after an internal audit flagged them as sensitive material without literary merit. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
I'm Tony Maruso for USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175. 8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the buy one, get one extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
A kidnapped girl's escape in Alabama has led to the discovery of two decomposing bodies and the arrest of a man now facing murder and kidnapping charges. Police got a call Monday morning from a driver about a 12-year-old girl walking alone along County Road 34 in Dadeville, Tallapoosa County. Sheriff Jimmy Abbott said Tuesday at a news conference the girl had been restrained to bedposts for about a week, according to the criminal complaint. Jose Paulino Pascal Reyes, 37, was arrested Monday about 25 miles away in Auburn on suspicion of first-degree kidnapping by U.S. Marshals and police, the sheriff said, adding other agencies are also on this case. U.S. job openings fell by the most in just over 2 years in June as demand for workers eased in the retail and wholesale trade industries. But overall, the labor market remains tight, allowing the Federal Reserve to continue raising interest rates. At least 4.2 million workers voluntarily quit their jobs in June and layoffs declined. This is USA Radio News.
Dear precious Blood River Radio family, I'm always saying it, but this is one of the fastest hours that we've ever had. It's very emotional. I'm just going to say one more time, I might be off my game a little bit tonight because I'm so damn emotional. I was there in Charlottesville, as so was Ren, and we've had three other guests on, Rich, Gene, and Matt, and Simon, who couldn't be with us tonight. Hopefully we get him on in the future. Simon Roach from South Africa. Simon Roach from South Africa, Rich Hamlin, Gene Andrews, and Matt Goodwin, and Ren, who's on tonight. We were all in Charlottesville, so what we've been telling you really is we haven't pulled any punches at all. But listen, I'd like to give all my honor to those people that have come on. Everybody that's been on this show tonight has had a special significance to add. There's really significant. And we have another lady right now. Her name is Miss Mary Barlow. And I talked to her the other day, and she has a very hair-raising tale to tell. But she was there with small children. Oh, how are you doing tonight, Miss Mary?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You are coming through loud and clear. I shouldn't say enjoy it, but you gave a riveting interview when I spoke to you the other day, and I'm really thankful to have you coming back on. So, if you will, you probably remember what we talked about. I know you remember being there,
yes,
in Charlottesville. Start from the beginning, why you went there, what your duty was when you got there. Did you get to fulfill your duty? Were you prevented by doing your duty? Did you have your children with you? everything from start to finish, and just take all the time you need.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for letting me come on the show and tell them a story. I haven't really told it, but to a few. So, yes, I drove up there from Florida. There was a bunch of us that drove up there for the event to come up there and support everyone that was trying to keep that monument and just kind of utilize our freedom of speech. It didn't turn out that way, of course. So I am a mother, and I have several children, of which I homeschool, and, you know, they're with me constantly. So I had a couple of my young children with me, and the idea was never for me to go down into the park or anything like that. The idea being, you know, my background in medical was kind of staying away from the situation, but close enough in case, you know, anybody got too hot. You know, it was really hot out there. I would be close enough for someone to walk the person to me or me meet them halfway. After our people started heading down to the statue to where the event was actually to occur, I had taken myself and two of my children, my young boys, actually under the age of 3, and we took the rented vehicle that we had and drove it. I just kind of drove around trying to find, you know, I wasn't really familiar, just trying to find a place, you know, close enough but not too close. And so I found this park. There was absolutely nobody around other than just like a mother here or there. But I'd stopped at this park because there was a restroom right there I could see, and being that I was potty training, I needed to be able to walk to the restroom and, you know, if I needed to use the restroom. Now, mind you, I'm in an unmarked vehicle. I mean, there's nothing on this vehicle. It's a rented vehicle. There's nothing on this vehicle. I had nothing inside the vehicle. I'm a typical mom. I had the mom bun, capris, a regular t-shirt, flip-flops, my two children, just in regular kids' clothes, sitting in their seats, playing on their iPads. One of them playing on their iPad. And this, as I'm sitting there, I had been sitting there for just a few minutes, and this mob of people turns the corner in front of me. And as they are kind of scattering around this vehicle that I'm in, this very tall, large, colored man stops at the window, the driver's window, and looks at me, and I look at him, and he spits on the window and continues to walk back towards the back of the vehicle, and he was carrying a baseball bat, and he hits the tire first, which startled me, and then he proceeded to hit the vehicle itself, and then another person on the other side of the vehicle started hitting the vehicle itself. Now, there was no indication, nothing that would have put me with anybody down there. I was simply a mom sitting there with two kids. So I am incredibly thankful that the people that were still walking, they were not in front of me because I hit the gas. And I left from that spot immediately. That was closer to where the parking garage was, but far enough away. And as we're sitting there, and I'm talking to the kids. One of them has to use the restroom. So we walk out and we walk around. We walk, I'm going to say, a block or two down away from the situation. And around to a little store that I had visited the night before when we got into town. We had visited this little store the night before, and I knew they had a restroom in there, and I knew they had some food in there. Well, as we got down there, we went to the restroom, got a little sandwich, and went and sat at the tables. And as we're sitting there, I'm watching. I mean, it's, again, we're far enough away, but there are people that are slowly coming down to get away from the situation. And I see these four officers standing there, maybe 6 feet away from me, commenting, stating that they wish that they could come help us. And they were laughing and mocking the Antifa or whomever those people were that were coming down making comments. They were mocking them, saying it looks like someone's off their meds. So that was the majority of it. As the kids and I were walking back towards where we had parked the second time, we were walking back up the road going towards the garage where everybody had parked. And a young man, I don't know how old, he looked very young to me, had gotten away from our group. And he was carrying one of the flags that had a frog on it, the joke flag, basically. And he proceeded to get attacked by four grown men. And there was another lady that was jogging, so I'm assuming she was from there. She was kind of jogging down. And her and I stopped and started, you know, yelling at these four men to leave the young man alone. I mean, he looked young. I don't really know what he was thinking. But I guess he was trying to maybe march back up to the parking garage. But as you turn to look towards the parking garage, there was an officer standing there, a female officer standing there right dead center in the middle. And the only way she could not have seen this happen was if she was completely blind. The kid was in the middle of the street. Well, lo and behold, the story actually came out a little bit later. That officer was a resource officer at a high school, and she just had shoulder injuries. So she had some surgery done, and she was told to stand there until someone had gotten there. And as the kid ran past her and these four gentlemen running after him, she did not move a single bit. So that's our story. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life, ever. And, you know, when our vehicle got attacked with my children in it, again, there was absolutely no reason for anybody to attack us other than the fact, perhaps, that there were three white people sitting in a vehicle and they were just that hostile. And again, I mean, I don't even know where the license plates were from. I mean, you know, rentals, they come from all different states. But there was nothing that indicated that we were even with any organization that was down there. So that's our story.
Miss Mary, I'm putting my glasses on. And I'd like to tell the people just how young your children were. And I know these thugs that came by your van when you were in that park. I think you told me your children were 5 years old and less.
Well, they were under five. So my oldest little at the time had just turned three on the 2nd of August. And my middle little at the time was one. And they were in car seats, just regular clothes. I mean, just regular looking clothes, little blonde, redheaded kids with blue eyeballs sitting there. You know, one of them was asleep, thank goodness, you know, the youngest one. And the other one was just sitting there on his little blue iPad that we bought for him to have something to do while, you know, because I knew I wasn't going down into the park. There was no way I was going to take my children, you know, down into a situation. But, you know, they were really young. I'm thankful that they were not involved, you know, or that they weren't old enough, you know, to realize what was going on. But, you know, it was quite frightening, and there was no reason for it.
Miss Mary, we have to go to our last break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you another question or two, then we'll bring Rand in. I'm sure he has a question himself. Be right back. And I also want to read a text message we got from one of our listeners. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. This has been a great emotional show tonight. I don't even like to call it a show. Like I said earlier, it's a mission, it's a calling for this program for Blood River. But my little sister Janice sent a text a minute ago. She said she was so glad that Dr. Hill, head of the League of the South, he urged people not to bring their wives up there to march in that crowd and their children to march into that park because they would have been slaughtered. But this lady right here, Miss Mary, she was on a mission too. And I saw her when we were up there. I didn't know who she was at the time, but the people, when they came by, I don't remember if they hollered out Pappy because of James and other people at TPC. So a lot of them call me Pappy. A lot of them call me the Bombardier. They say, hey, Pappy, we're going back to the compound. Hop in the van, man. And I said, no, I'm going to go back with the people who brought me to the dance. I was on the way to the garage, and damn, I went to the wrong garage, and that was kind of hairy for a while. But I finally made it back to the garage. But anyway, I saw Miss Mary Barlow, and I didn't know, like I say, I know I'm repeating myself, I didn't know who it was then, but it's such a pleasure to see her again tonight, to meet like this. And I'd like to point out something else she mentioned earlier. This lady had small children with her. Three, and one of them still potty training. She had them in car seats, and these animals, these feral animals, looked in there. They did not care. Those people, they're like hyenas coming up on a fawn deer. That's how much, that's the type of attitude they had. They were looking at you and your children almost like y'all were prey animals. That's why Gene Andrews coined the phrase, I borrowed from him, they're feral animals. They're feral black animals and feral Antifa and Black Lives Matter. But if you will, tell the people, you did a wonderful thing up there. Tell the people, I was amazed how many people you hauled to that van. Tell the people a little bit about the mission you did and how many people you carried in your van up there.
Well, okay. I want to say, we really did feel, I really did personally feel like prey as those people came around the corner and just attacked us like they did. There was, it was just the worst feeling. And I knew at that point that things really were heading south for the event that we had went up there for. So after the state of emergency had been called, as everyone knows, our people got dispersed out into chaos. And people scattered. They went everywhere. So what I did, along with another gentleman that had showed up and was with me, we went around and we collected. And it didn't matter what organization you were with, as far as, being on the right. We went around and we collected well over 300 people that were running, that were, alone, that had gotten separated from their groups. We collected them. We carried them back to the parking garage. After the majority of the people in the parking garage had dispersed, we still had people missing. We still had people calling in to various individuals like myself that needed picked up. And so me and this other person, with his knowledge of the area, we went and we picked up, I'm going to say, well over 300 people. Picked them up, took them to safety, We actually had picked up one of the gentlemen that got bashed in the head and was bleeding profusely. The gentleman that got hurt in the parking garage, I picked up, took him up to medical. I didn't even realize I recognized the person. He was just completely covered in blood, and the guy actually was a dear friend at the time. And I didn't even recognize him. So my job after everything had occurred and everyone was dispersed was to collect our people. And we stayed out well past dark. We stayed out well past people celebrating back out at the compound. We made certain that we gathered every single person we could find or was in need of help. We did not leave. The boys stayed in the vehicle, in their seats, eating their lunch food that I had brought for them. And we made sure that we gathered as many people as we could find, and that was calling for us. And we were exhausted by the end of it. I mean, just exhausted. And we were going into neighborhoods that we clearly should not have been, because our people had dispersed in those. And it was basically, are we going to do this or are we not? Are we going to help our people or are we going to scare away? Because we're going into these neighborhoods, and the person sitting next to me and myself said, you know what, we're here to get our people. And that's exactly what we did, no matter where they were.
Man.
Are you there?
Hey, Mary. Hey, Mary, it's Ran.
Hey.
Can you hear
me? Hi, Ran. Yes, hi, Ran.
Hey, Mary, thank you so much for coming on and sharing that story. Thank you for your service that day. Thank you for being in the League of the South. Thank you for being in this movement. And why isn't that story that you're telling and you're sharing there, Mary, why isn't that a mainstream story? I mean, your story should be shouted from the hilltops. And that's why I say, Mary, and I'm just want to say this, I want to say it on the air while I have a chance. That's why this League of the South group in Florida, y'all set the bar for all League of the South members. What the story you just told, and the links that you went to that day to make sure that all of your comrades were safe and sound, that's just astonishing to me. I'm so grateful for that, and I'm just so glad that you came on. And Mary, it sounds like to me that you know firsthand how some frightened person could drive through a crowd of leftist scum.
Oh, absolutely, Rand. I can tell you right now, I have said it more than once. I understand exactly how James Hill felt. And his emotions were running way higher than mine at that time. Yes, I had children in the vehicle that I needed to protect, but he was just involved in the situation down there and was being ran after by a gun. And I just, when I saw that had happened on the news, all I could think of was, well, yeah, I mean, I understand why that happened.
You know, Mary, it's only by the grace of God that day that more people, it wasn't more casualties. More people got killed, hurt, injured. It's only by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew your story, but that guy spitting on your window, you just don't know how much that infuriates me.
Yes.
You know, the man I actually saw, he was in a video walking back up to the parking lot, and he's a very big colored man. And he was, again, carrying that same bat walking up to the parking garage in, like, a bluish-colored shirt. I will never forget his face my entire life, never. I mean, we were no more than 6 inches from each other with glass in between us. Never will I ever forget his face.
You know, Miss Mary, I saw before, I think it was right before we got to Lee Park, I saw one of the Antifa members carrying, it looked like an AR. He had a shoulder, mm-hmm. but the dude is there with an AR shoulder, and the police did nothing. I'd like to ask you one quick question before we run out of time. This may be a rhetorical question. Knowing what you know today, after you've gone through that hell hole up there in Charlottesville, would, if you were called upon to do it, I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you think it was a lapse in judgment when you went up there in retrospect?
No.
Or you just didn't think that you didn't know? Did you have, you probably didn't have any idea it's going to be that bad. Would you do it again?
Yes, oh, absolutely, hands down. Our people deserve to exist, period. And, you know, as a mother, I have five boys, and I understand the world that I'm raising them up in, and I pray to God that when their time comes, when they're called, they'll go as well.
You know, we have a caller, the man that had that baseball bat. The man that had that baseball bat, we have Rich recognized him. He said he was a black he came all the way from New York. He'd be from Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. I mean, that infuriates me more than I can say. But back to you, Miss Mary. We're almost out of time. We got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
But yes, to answer your question, I don't believe that we had a lapse in judgment going up there. We went up there to defend our people, no matter what the cost. Unfortunately, the cost was high for some people, but I would definitely do it again. I would definitely serve our people as well as the League of the South. And I'm raising up my boys to do the exact same thing.
You're a very brave lady. I'm so proud to have you on this show. Rand, any questions you have before we run completely out of time?
I'd just like to say I'm just gleaming with thankfulness and comfort and having a sister like Mary and that group down there. It just, people like Mary Barlow give me hope. And we love you, Mary. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you. Thank you, Rand. We have a really good state chapter down here. And you know what? Michael Tubbs and Dr. Hill are phenomenal leaders. Like, we couldn't do it without them. I'm going to say that right now.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
We've had
our ups and downs in the league, but we're still hanging on. We're going to carry on. And I support both of them and you and the league with all I got.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
You know, I wish I could remember a story, Mary and Rand, someone told. There was a letter they found after a battle of the Lincoln's War against the South, and it was from a Yankee soldier. They found his letter, and he told about this woman they came upon, and he said that they shot her several times. They had stabbed her. She just wouldn't die. And he says she had the largest pig sticker he'd ever seen. I mean, she was wasting those Yankee soldiers. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm going to ask Gene the next time he comes on. I know Gene will know that. But she made waste of five or six or eight of those Yankee soldiers. So they had some really bad, tough-ass women from the South in those days. Well, Miss Mary, we're almost out of time. Got
Can
about
I
a minute.
It's,
well, let's let Miss Mary sign off since she's the guest, Rand. Miss Mary, anything you'd like to leave us with before you go?
Just thank you for having us on. You know, this is an important month for all of us. Even though everything that has happened after Charlottesville, I would like to say to all of our Southern nationalists that this organization is the strongest and longest-standing organization for our people. And I encourage all of you to get active, to stay active, and to find your family once again. Don't just hide behind the computer any longer. Get out there. We need you.
Thank you so much, Miss Mary and Rand. Thank you all so much. We're totally out of time. I would like to thank all
of our guests,
James, Keith, Rich, Gene, Matt, Rand, Tamara, and you, Miss Mary. And thank you, Cam and Jay, for running the board. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience, for tuning in. We're completely out of time. I'll get in touch with y'all later. Good night, everyone.